This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
And at kpft.org, this is KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Falinski.
And Jennifer Renee.
And Glenn Holt.
Tonight, we're going to be talking about an art affair. It's a fundraiser for the GLBT Community Center, and that's happening on October 6th. And then?
Yes, we're going to have Karen Heimbaugh and Daryl Thompson from Del Shore's Sordid Lives. That's at the Silver House Theater this coming week.
And then in the second hour, it is our fourth Monday, so we're going to be doing the Queer Music Heritage, and J.D. is going to be doing a special on songs I've been meaning to play. The last 15 minutes, of course, is also going to be a tribute to his partner, Jeff, who recently passed. I noticed that you're running around with almost gay water here.
Yes, I know. Got to have that gay water.
Well, it's almost, because there's only three colors. Well, there's three or four.
I love the fact that it has the rainbow at the bottom. You know, it's just one of the companies I do business with.
Right.
Yes, it's close enough for our purposes tonight.
So all that's coming up on Queer Voices, and Deborah's off tonight, so I guess we'll have to make it be.
We'll have to make it without her.
So the first segment, we're going to be talking about the art affair. And that is a fundraiser. It's a yearly fundraiser for the community center. And why don't you all introduce yourself so we can tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, my name is Nelvin Eskew. I'm the chairman of this fundraising event for this year.
And I'm Fran Vaughn, and I'm the co-chair next to Nelvin. And we are both trying to make a real success out of this art affair for the whole community.
Well, I know it started out, you know, a couple years ago as a small event, but it's gotten bigger over the years, hasn't it?
Yes, and we're really trying the best way we can. And I think this is pretty much the best of the black tie that we are, you know, trying to accomplish. So, and we're hoping that, you know, we'll make something out of this. So,
well, tell us exactly what it is. It's a fundraiser, but what you know, we have all different types of fundraisers.
Right.
It's certainly not a circuit party, I guess.
No, definitely not. Actually, when we actually first planned this project, it was last year, in August last year, and you know, pretty much all the fundraising we do is we invite all the new artists, well-known artists, but this time we kind of put a different twist on this project. So we kind of thought about, why don't we promote new artists?
Okay.
So we actually tried to contact, with the help of our Sean Randall, who is one of our advertising guy, to contact two schools, art schools,
which is
the Arts Institute of Houston and the Intercontinental Arts. So both of them actually will be competing for the top prize, and we're awarding a grant scholarship for the top five students.
Great. Now, when you talk about art, what do you mean? You mean painting? You mean sculpture?
Yes.
You mean
painting?
Mostly paintings.
Okay.
Yes. These children, young artists who are coming out of these schools that are,
and this would be like post high school. It'd be in.
Well, yes, post high school, postgraduate.
Yeah.
Art Institute of Houston is a very well known institute, and a lot of good artists come out of that institute, as well as the Art International University. And so, out of those two schools, we have invited a number of students who will be bringing in their artwork, where we will have the judges judge the artwork that they bring in, and out of those, there will be 10 people that are chosen.
Yeah.
And out of those 10, there will be 5 top winners.
Yeah.
And those 5 top winners will not only get a certificate, but they will also get scholarship monies. Now, the beneficiary school that is actually taking monies that we are donating for their art, whether it may be a department, whether it may be music, art, whatever they dance, whatever they feel like they need the monies for, will be actually the Darla School of
Mental Retired Adults. Mm-hmm. It's one of the beneficiaries this year. So.
And also the Houston Community Center.
Yeah. Great.
So we have really brought this to the next level. And with that, along with that, we're having Anise Parker as our guest speaker and Vicente Aranas
as our host for this year.
The MC.
And, of course, Jimmy James, our own very Jimmy James, will be performing. So we're flying him over from New York.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be here. And I think this project pretty much really, it's more like trying to incorporate tapping the corporate world to a nonprofit, because mostly all other nonprofit organizations, we all know that we tap all the same companies.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're trying to get outside the box.
Okay.
And by being in the corporate world myself, being I'm a banker, and of course Fran here is a realtor and a broker. So we try to incorporate both worlds so we can come up with something for the community. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be a very, very significant event.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be at the Renaissance Hotel
in Greenway Plaza.
Yeah, they keep changing their name all the time. But we all know where it is.
Right.
Yes. Well, at the same time, we're also incorporating the ideal that we don't necessarily have to have the corporate sponsors all the time. We want to be able to bring individuals that are interested in promoting, their efforts and helping us promote whatever it is that we can to help the young students or the young people or people that are companies that are in need as far as this community is concerned. At the same time, we are going to be not only the artworks that are being brought in by the students, but also there's going to be an auction of all the art that is being presented. Plus, there's a special art that's going to be auctioned off as a major prize.
Yeah. So we have a lot of effort, actually, that's we're getting from. And I think one of our known artists, John Palmer, will be helping us out, actually, do the prejudging of this arts. Mm-hmm. And he will definitely be helping us a lot on this project. Mm-hmm.
And which is a good thing for us, because John Palmer is pretty well known in the gay community. Mm-hmm. And we just actually last week came back from Greece with John, a group tour that we went over there, and we had a art show there, and so it was very, very successful. And so we promoted the art affair as well, and so we were able to get the word out through various channels, just so that way we can be able to be successful and more successful than we've been in the past.
Great. Mm-hmm. So there will be, and we can't mention prices here, but there will be a charge for the event.
Yes, of course. There's a $100 ticket, which includes dinner as well, and of course the entertainment. And everybody will be entitled to auction and bid for prizes and stuff, and I think they're gonna have fun. I mean, $100 a ticket for dinner includes dinner. It's more like a buffet kind of food, because we try to present this not like a sit down. It's totally a different type of concept, because it's not like a, you have the 10 tables and 10 people actually be sitting on the same table. Mm-hmm. So this is more like a bar kind of people socialize, and no drinking during the program.
No drinking during the program.
It will be closed.
Pre-program drinking.
So at least we can have really focus on one, listening to Anise Parker, will be our guest speaker, and second, also to really recognize these young artists that put their, the effort to put this project together. So we want to recognize them, all those top 20 of them. So we want to focus. This is their night. So we're hoping that we're going to accomplish that.
Great. So, and where could people get information and tickets and find out more about what's going on?
Yeah, they can actually go and visit our website at the Houston GLBT Community Center.org or the HGLBTCC.org. And actually, when they go to that website, automatically will pop out the ad, and then they can purchase a ticket online, or they can call as well Fran Vaughn, who's actually in charge for our ticket sales. Mm-hmm. Or they can call me. Telephone number is actually 713-894-9892. That's for Nelvin Esquilio, and
And for Fran Vaughn, you can call my office at 281-921-1818. And you can also go to franvaughn.com. And we'll have information on there as well.
And all the marketing materials, actually, we have a lot of ads campaign. Actually, the Outsmart just came out with our, you know, promotional materials, and we're coming out with two other more magazines.
Well, and so this is all, and I mean, part of this beneficiaries is a community center.
Of course, definitely.
And I guess, I don't know whether these plans are public yet, but the community center is going to look, is talking about moving into nicer, you know, nicer space.
Yes, yes. And that's in the works right now. And the board actually really discussing and really deliberating because, you know, we're the hub of other nonprofit organizations, if I may say, because we're the community center after all. So we're wanting to really make the most of it by offering good facility for other nonprofit organizations. So that's in the works right now.
That's fabulous. So,
it seems to be coming along quite well. Everybody seems to be on track, and the project is on track as far as this is concerned, and as well as the new facilities for the community center. And we're really working towards making that next step for the community center a much bigger project and a much better project. You know, overall, because again, as Nelvin mentioned, it is the hub for other organizations, and we need to make it look that way and be that way.
Fabulous. Yeah.
So we need volunteers. So for the community center, for everybody who wants to volunteer, we have several projects that we're working on, so we need help. I mean, this is our community. This is our community, so we need all help one another. So.
Well, and especially since, you know, things are changing in the community, and,
right.
and we don't have a weekly newspaper anymore, and the bars aren't quite the center of the universe in many ways, and that's good. And there's
right.
a lot of good about that, but the fact that there are some organizations that are struggling to keep the ball rolling,
right.
I guess, in a sense, and we're so spread out here in Houston,
right.
you know, we're all over the place.
And plus, you need to make the efforts more mainstream. Where everybody can take part in it.
And I think the advantage actually for us now as the board that's helping us for this community center is I think we're trying to incorporate, you know, it's not just about this is a gay community that it has to be involved with all the gay people, you know, to work as one, but also incorporate with people like Miss Vaughn here, who was I recruited as one of the board to help us, and she's helped us a lot with this community. And, you know, she's married, happily married, you know. So it's just the same saying that, you know, one community, one people, one project for one goal. So if we can all accomplish those, I think we're all in a better place.
Okay. So again, the website, the best place to get information is the website?
Yes. Houston, GLBTCommunityCenter.org.
Great.
Okay. $100 a ticket. Includes dinner and entertainment, Jimmy James.
Okay, and that is October 6th, the Saturday, a week from this Saturday.
Yes,
absolutely.
6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thank you very much for coming by this
Jack,
evening.
Thank you so much for having us here and for promoting the show. Hope to see you there.
Well,
thank
I
you.
Hope to be there. Yes,
you're
I hope
there.
To be there.
Okay.
And you're listening to Queer Voices.
You're not my judge or my jury. Your friends could find out. That's why you worried your image could be spared. Why don't I care? How can I be so unfair? My mind is twisted and you can't explain. How can I live this forsaken way? But I have a news flash for you. I'm never, never, never gonna choose. Cause it's not contagious, just a little outrageous for you. But it doesn't mean I have any less of a right to be who I am, and I demand to be free from your judgment. Give me the respect. Don't like what I do. Dignity isn't measured by you. La 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 la.
this, just a little outrageous for you. But it doesn't mean I have any less of a right to be who I am. And I demand to be free from your judgment. Give me the respect. Don't like what I do. Dignity isn't measured by you. Homophobic blues, a wife, two kids, and a mortgage too. You're driven by difference outside your picket fence. You can't understand why I'm not on the defense. You say I'm always flaunting it, exposing your family to all this shit. Well, you don't want them to see or know who I am. Come on, brother, let's change this plan. You're just like me. Oh, can't you see? We strive every day for a little good. Just a little outrageous for you. But it doesn't mean I have any less of a right to be who I am. And I demand to be free from your judgment. Give me the respect. Don't like what I do. Dignity isn't measured by you. Well, you don't like what I do. Dignity isn't measured by you.
The Homophobic Blues by the Three Marys from their signature album from the year 2001. This is Queer Voices.
And this is Jennifer Renee, and we're here tonight. We've got representatives from Unhinged Production, and they're presenting Del Shore's rancorous comedy, Sordid Lives. It started September 21st, and it'll be running through October 20th. And with us tonight is Karen Heimbaugh, director, and Daryl Thompson, who plays Brother Boy. Karen, welcome back. You've been here before.
Yes, I'm so pleased to be back. Thank you so much for having this. This is always a thrill for us.
Well, a little bit to tell us some more information. I want to make sure everybody knows that where is it going to be?
Okay, it's at Silver House Theater, which is at 1107 Chartres. The zip code for that is 77003. It's right across from the George R. Brown Convention Center on other side of 59 downtown, and we're going to be there, like you said, until October 21st. We will have two more Sunday matinees. The next Sundays will be at 3 p.m., and then after that, we switch to just Fridays and Saturdays. We love working out of Silver House. It's a fantastic place, and people are really seeming to enjoy it.
Well, good. And the times and all? And
yes.
And contact information, how they can get tickets. I mean, they we're trying to promote this thing.
So let's
let them know where they can get tickets.
Absolutely. Okay, so the show times are going to be 8 o'clock on Fridays and Saturdays. Our Sunday matinees are at 3 p.m. And you can get your tickets on our website, which is www.u-p.org. That's U for Unhinged and P for Productions. And that is how you can get your tickets. We are going to have a telephone. I promise our fans out there, we will have a telephone by our next show. We are working on it. But up until that point, you have to go to the website. Or you can just show up. We're always happy to sell tickets to people who just walk in. But if you'd like a reservation, www.u-p.org.
Great. And, well, let's see. Daryl.
I'm the talkative one.
You're the talkative one. You're sort of sitting there quietly. I just pretend we're on stage and the spotlight is on you. And it's just the three of us sitting here talking in your living room. Tell us about the show itself. There may be people out there that have never heard of it.
Well, I would think that everyone has heard of this show. Sordid Lives by Del Shores was a movie several years ago. What about 10?
98, I believe.
Almost 10 years ago. Hugely successful then. Had Delta Burke, Leslie Jordan. I cannot remember the rest of the cast.
Bo Bridges.
Yes.
Olivia Newton-John.
Yes. So it was a huge show, and the script came, of course, before the stage play came before the movie, but the stage play takes it a little bit different angle because, you know, we're done live theater and we have to do the enhancing the reality and all of that fun part. But it's...
We get to use our imagination.
Yeah, we like our audience to fill in some of the blanks. and it's just, it's been a lot of fun. I'll tell you, working with Unhinged has been an amazing journey for me. And working with Karen as a director, I have so much respect for her. And the cast, we have such a great cast. This is one of the few shows that I've been in that we didn't have any divas. Everybody works well together, and we all seem to enjoy it. We're hoping that the audience can see that, and I believe they do.
Well, from my own personal experience in the theater, if the cast is enjoying it, usually the audience will get into that same enjoyment. Yes. So I wish you well. Karen, you were going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say that I have never done a production where I have laughed so much in the rehearsal process. It was just such an amazing experience. And I kept telling them, if the audience enjoys watching it half as much as we've enjoyed making it for them, then we will have been completely successful. Because I got to tell you, there were days I went home, my sides hurt, my face hurts. I'm not used to smiling that much. I'm a middle school teacher. I try to keep, you know, the straight face all day, no smiles. And my face was just so sore coming home from all those smiles and laughter.
And that was the stuff that was going on backstage, not on stage.
Well, Doug, now, tell me the story. You know, granted, I mean, you know, we all know the story, but, you know, there's someone out there. We want him to come. What's the story about?
All right.
Tell us. It's
about a young man named Ty, who's moved to New York, and his grandmother has died while she was having a very sordid affair with a married man who had two wooden legs. And she tripped over his wooden legs on the way to the bathroom in a seedy motel room. And he is worried about coming back home.
That's funny, just thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. He's worried about coming back home for his grandmother's funeral because his family, he hasn't come out to them yet. He's living a life out in New York, and he just hasn't come out to his family yet. And it's about his struggle to come home, and we get to see his family throughout and why he's having that struggle. And it's just an amazing piece about, I think, the universal idea that you really can't come home again. Once you get out into the real world and you're an adult and you're paying your own bills and you really start making a persona for yourself outside of who your family is, which is difficult to do when you live with them. When you get outside of that, it's so difficult to come back home because you've grown and you've changed and everything just seems smaller and more frightening when you get back home in some ways. So I think that that's the main universal theme of the show. And it's a beautiful show for being so, so funny.
I can remember when I left my hometown, a small town not too far from here, and came to Houston. And, you know, after just a couple of years, you know, you go home and you realize that you don't belong there anymore.
You really don't.
You know, the places are familiar, but you're not the same.
That's the year that I came by the Pride Festival and stopped by the booth.
Yes.
And I was looking for, is there an LGBT theater here in Houston? And now in the last two or three years, I've gotten so involved with it, I can't imagine going back to my small town hall and trying to even, you know, present anything that would scare everyone to death in that little town. Oh, jeez.
But sometimes, it's remarkable how even as much as the small towns need to change, there is some change going on.
Yes.
Little by little.
It's not in the adults. You know, don't go home and expect all of the adults to like you. But the fact is that it's the young ones. It's the next generation coming up, and, you know, GLBT people are sort of ho-hum to them, and, you know, which is wonderful. I hope someday that's the way the whole world is.
Yes.
Yep.
By all means.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us more about the production, but the behind-the-scenes type stuff about Unhinged Productions.
Well, we are the GLBT Theater here in Houston, and we have a great season set up this year. Our next show is actually going to be a musical directed by Daryl Thompson, Mr. Brother Boy here. It's called Saucy Jack and the Space Vixens. And if the title alone doesn't get you out there, I do not know what will.
That sounds like it should be fun.
We are talking futuristic, yet set in like the 70s, but in the future. So you're talking fabulous glitter boots and hilarity ensuing at all times.
A serious drama then.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And lots of drinking, which is always very fun. We're going to have Five Flights, which we hope will be directed by Roy Hamlin, which is another amazing show that has never been done in this area. And then we're hoping to do The Little Dog Laughed. We haven't looked at the rights yet. I think the Alley might have the rights for that shut down. And if so, we're going to do Dog Sees God, which is based on the Peanuts characters from Charles Schulz.
Oh,
but
really?
They're grown up and they're teenagers and their lives are such a mess. There is pot smoking and Snoopy is dead and he killed Woodstock because he had rabies, and it's funny and sad and beautiful, and I have never laughed so hard. Yeah, I have never laughed so hard reading a play and then gotten to the end and just sobbed. I knew I had to do this play. It's so amazing. It took me through the whole gambit of emotions just while I was reading it. So I can only imagine how great it's going to be to see it on stage. So if we don't get that done this year, if we do The Little Dog Laughed first, then we'll definitely do it for
next
season.
Now, the one before that, what was it?
Five Flights.
What was that going to be about?
That is about a family who lost their mother, and their father thought that their mother's soul had been brought into a bird. And so he built a huge aviary for all of the birds, and then the father died. And it's the children deciding what they're going to do about this aviary. One wants to turn it into a church. One wants to see it, you know, broken down. Another one wants to refurbish it and make it into a beautiful museum. And so it's about this family dealing with the fact that they now have lost both of their parents and coming to terms with who they are and what the, how their relationship is going to change as brothers and sisters and lovers.
Well, it sounds like you got a great season coming up. Absolutely. You'll have to come back for those, too.
Absolutely. Now,
tell us something about your character, Daryl.
Oh, my character. My goodness.
Let's get back to Sordid
Life. Yeah, most everyone really expects to see Leslie Jordan, and it's really it's difficult to try and imitate another actor who has done the role. You want to take the role, and you want to make it your own, and every one of us, when we're acting, the role that you see on stage, there is so much truth in it with each one of us. We have to tap into those hidden corners of recesses of our mind and heart to pull these characters out. And it just, Del Shores is such a wonderful playwright. The words just flow. Everything, it just, I really don't know how to put it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. All of my actors were off book about a week before I asked them to be, if that tells you anything about the language of the play.
Oh, really?
and how easy it is to verbalize what he is saying, because everything flows one into the other, and I've never had all of my actors off book so fast. It was amazing.
Oh, that's great.
Now, Brother Boy, when he was about 18 years old, got beat up because he was gay, and he was in love with a man there in town, and the man beat him up, and so his parents put him into an institution, into a mental institution. So Brother Boy has been in the mental institution for about 23 years, and he's transvestite. He thinks he's a Tammy Wynette impersonator. Well, he thinks he's Tammy Wynette, because Lord have mercy, somebody has got to carry on her legacy now that she's gone. And so I've had the most fun playing this character. I don't want to give it away.
No, don't do that. That's just enough to get everybody interested. You've got to come see this. Now, tell us how to get in touch with you again.
Again, that is www.u-p.org. If you just, we have student tickets that are available for $10, as well as seniors available for $15, and groups of 10 or more are available for $15.
Okay,
and
now,
regular
where is it going
20.
To be again?
It's going to be at 1107 Chartres at the Silver House Theater this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then the 2 weekends after that on Friday and Saturday, closing October 20th.
Thank you very much, Karen and Daryl.
Oh, thank you.
Unhinged Productions, Sordid Lives. Don't forget, you've got to come. This is Jennifer Renee.
Well,
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. An Ugandan tabloid continues its homo terror campaign. A notorious preacher buster takes to the stage. And long live Maupin's Mouse. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending September 22nd, 2007. The Ugandan tabloid newspaper Red Pepper has again outed several citizens as gay in an ongoing campaign that began late last year. Under the latest headline, Homo Terror, We Name and Shame Top Gays in the City, the Kampala-based paper called homosexuality an unnatural habit that is eating up our beloved nation. It named 40 individuals, by first name only, but in many cases provided details about their physical appearance, place of employment, neighborhood of residence, and the kind of car they drive. A new online grassroots activist network called Gays Without Borders has been organizing various actions against the newspaper and protests through the Ugandan government. But a spokesperson for the European region of the International Lesbian and Gay Association has just returned from Uganda and is urging the group to reconsider its campaign. Program's director, Maxim Amagichian, reported that the country's coalition of LGBT organizations, SMUG, or Sexual Minorities Uganda, has decided to ignore the publication, as did even most of those who were outed, cautioning that actions by well-meaning groups outside Uganda could support the idea promoted by the government that the fight for LGBT rights in the country does not belong to Ugandans and is promoted by the West. Human Rights Watch LGBT Program Director Scott Long also urged foreign activists to work through established Ugandan LGBT organizations, such as member groups of SMUG, both to be certain that the foreign assistance is welcomed and because some individuals in Uganda have attempted to raise funds from abroad by setting up sham gay groups.
In a long-awaited ruling, the highest court in Maryland, the Court of Appeals, decided 4-3 this week to uphold the U.S. state's law limiting marriage to heterosexual couples. The American Civil Liberties Union and 9 same-gender couples had challenged the restriction. The 4 separate majority opinions, which took up 244 pages, about half written by Judge Glenn T. Harrell Jr., determined that while there was a fundamental right to heterosexual marriage, that right did not extend to same-gender couples. The main dissent, encompassing more than 80 pages and written by Judge Lynn A. Battaglia, agreed with the plaintiff's assertion that denying marriage equality violates Maryland's Equal Rights Amendment by discriminating on the basis of gender. And Chief Judge Robert M. Bell's 10-page dissent insisted that it is the right to marriage, not same-sex marriage, that should have been under review and that it must be extended to same-gender couples. The majority opinion also followed a familiar pattern established by similarly divided recent high court anti-marriage equality rulings in New York and Washington, agreeing with state contentions that restricting marriage to heterosexual couples supports the state's interest in responsible procreation. The Maryland ruling did suggest that the legislature could enact same-gender civil unions or marriage. While lesbi-gay activists are considering their options, conservatives in the state are already talking about a constitutional amendment to prevent any legal recognition of same-gender couples. There are 3 U.S. state marriage equality cases yet to be decided. Connecticut's High Court may be the next to rule, reportedly before the end of the year. The California Supreme Court will hear oral arguments late this year or early in 2008, in what is probably the most significant of the marriage cases. And an appeal of a lower court ruling on August 30th in favor of same-gender couples and their families in Iowa is eventually expected to come before that state's high court.
Meanwhile, new research from the Netherlands shows that children raised by lesbian couples are as well-adjusted as those raised in heterosexual families. The study's results, released this week, are nearly identical to similar research in the United States and Canada, according to the U.S.-based Rockaway Institute, a national center for public policy and research on LGBT issues. Its director, Robert J. Green, said in a statement that children do well in loving families, regardless of whether there are 2 moms or a mom and a dad involved. He said more research needs to be done on gay fathers. The Dutch study analyzed 200 couples with boys and girls ages 4 to 8. Half of the parents were heterosexual, half lesbians. Child adjustment and parental characteristics were measured by questionnaires, family observations by researchers, and diaries kept by parents reporting the amount of time they spent child rearing, working around the house, and working outside their home. The results also show that lesbian biological mothers were more satisfied with their partners as co-parents than heterosexual mothers were of their husbands.
In other news this week, Ecuadorian Defense Minister Lorena Escudero has quit amid controversy over her plan to allow people in the military who come out as lesbi-gay to remain in the armed forces. She said Ecuador's constitution, which bans discrimination based on sexual orientation, mandated the change in policy. Escudero stressed, however, that she was not advocating that open gays and lesbians be allowed to join the military. Reports said Escudero resigned after high military commanders expressed strong opposition to her proposal, and that she's since moved to a new job heading the government's migrant office. New Defense Minister Wellington Sandoval said he has no plans to politicize the armed forces.
After the town council of the small Canadian city of Truro, Nova Scotia, was hauled before the Provincial Human Rights Commission for refusing to fly the rainbow flag during LGBT Pride festivities in August, city leaders have decided to stop flying flags altogether, except for the city, provincial, and Canadian flags. The council in the city of some 12,000 people, located about 60 miles northwest of Halifax, had always welcomed temporary displays of flags representing various groups and organizations on the civic building's five official flagpoles. Mayor Bill Mills supported the 6-1 town council vote in August to reject the rainbow flag, saying of lesbi-gay people, "God says I'm not in favor of that, and I have to look at it and say, I guess I'm not either. If I have a group of people that says pedophiles should have rights, do we have to raise their flag too? There doesn't seem to be standards anymore." In adopting the total flag ban on September 10th, a majority of the council also apologized to Pride organizer Charles Thompson for Mills' homophobic remarks, saying they didn't share his opinions. Mills said he had no further comment. Thompson told the Chronicle Herald newspaper that the new policy is a smokescreen and sends the message that they still don't want to deal with us.
And finally, researchers at two conservative U.S. colleges funded by the so-called ex-gay ministry, Exodus International, are reporting considerably mixed results in what they called the most ambitious study yet on whether so-called faith-based therapy can cure homosexuality. A book trumpeted by Exodus leaders and published this week by psychologists Stanton Jones of Wheaton College and Mark Yarhouse of Pat Robertson University attempts to show the extent to which sexual orientation change is possible through a study of 98 participants of various ex-gay ministries over 4 years. They claim that 15% reported substantially reduced homosexual desire and attraction, and that 23% said they'd experienced satisfactory reductions in homosexual desire, but were living chaste lives. 29% experienced only modest change in the desired direction, but expressed commitment to continuing in their respective programs. But 15% experienced no change and were conflicted about the future. 4% expressed confusion about their identity, but did not label themselves as gay. And 8% reported change in what was called an undesired direction, apparently becoming more accepting of their gay sexual orientation. 25 of the original 98 participants had also dropped out over the course of the 4-year study. Jim Burroway, editor of the LGBT blog BoxTurtleBulletin.com, told the Gay.com website that the last number is significant, noting, "We should have a clear understanding of why about a quarter of this study's participants dropped out before we write them off as irrelevant." Wayne Besson, executive director of the ex-gay fighting Truth Wins Out, said that the research was created to suit their political agenda, which is spreading myth that if one person can change, anyone can change, and that its authors ignored documented harm that so-called reparative therapy has done to many lesbians and gay men. Ironically, in an extreme but illustrative example of that, a counselor in one ex-gay program faced sentencing this week following his conviction on felony charges of sexually attacking his male clients. 43-year-old Christopher Austin worked in the ex-gay program Renew, operated out of the Church of Christ South MacArthur in Irving, Texas. One of the several victims who came forward, Mark Hufford, testified that Austin used touch therapy to ostensibly cure him of his homosexuality, a so-called treatment that progressed to include nude sessions and even oral sex.
Best News Wrap, the week ending September 22, 2007. Written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Rick Watts.
This week, San Diego's Republican Mayor Jerry Sanders reversed his earlier promise to veto a city council resolution to join other major California cities filing friend-of-the-court briefs urging the state Supreme Court to open marriage to same-gender couples. The court is expected to rule on the issue next year. In an emotional speech, during which he said that his own lesbian daughter deserved that right, the mayor of the country's eighth largest city told reporters,
2 years ago, I believed that civil unions were a fair alternative. Those beliefs in my case have changed. The concept of separate but equal, institution is not something I can support.
Sanders is up for re-election next year in a city with a far more conservative bent than its sisters, San Francisco and Los Angeles. He acknowledged that many voters who supported his earlier candidacy may disagree, but said he had to do what he believed was right.
I have close family members and friends who are a member of the gay and lesbian community. Those folks include my daughter Lisa, as well as members of my personal staff. I want for them the same thing that we all want for our loved ones. For each of them to find a mate whom they love deeply and who loves them back. Someone with whom they grow together and share life's experiences. And I want their relationships to be protected equally in the law. In the end, I couldn't look any of them in the face and tell them that their relationship, their very lives, were any less meaningful than the marriage I share with my wife, Rana.
Standing nearby with her mother and younger sister was Sanders' 24-year-old daughter, Lisa, who reportedly came out to her family 4 years ago and is in a committed relationship. However, her orientation was not public knowledge until her father's speech. She told gay journalist Rex Walkner that, "I'm just very proud of my father and to be a part of this. It's about equality, and he's doing the right thing, and I'm very confident in him." Meanwhile, demonstrations across California this week targeted another high-profile Republican, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Passionate crowds urged him to reverse his announced decision to veto a bill that would open marriage to same-gender couples. Many brought their children, hoping to underscore the real problems faced by families headed by same-gender couples without the protections marriage provides. Schwarzenegger vetoed a similar bill in 2005 and continues to insist that only a public referendum or high court ruling can reverse Proposition 22, which was passed by California voters in 2000. That measure was ostensibly to ban same-gender marriage, but courts have since ruled that it only applies to legal recognition of such marriages performed out of state. The statewide queer advocacy group Equality California said it also delivered more than 15,000 petitions to Schwarzenegger this week, calling on him to reconsider his position. Schwarzenegger has until October 14th to sign or veto the bill. Reporting from Los Angeles for This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Still alive and embroiled in new adventures, the character affectionately known as Mouse and his creator take center stage later in the program. Mike Jones is the gay masseur whose revelations about Pastor Ted Haggard brought down the evangelical clergyman. He was cast in the recent Boulder Fringe production of Brian Bauman's controversial play, Porridge, a sexually charged anti-war cry about three gay Marines. This Way Out's Claudia Craig talked with Jones about why he decided to take to the stage, some of his other clients, and his future plans.
When Brian contacted me, I think one of the things that intrigued me a little bit was it was kind of pushing the envelope a bit. And my whole life in the last year has about been pushing the envelope. And you have to understand, a lot of these men that I've seen for 20 years were connected with the military. And they were, when I see them over in war or Iraq or wherever, there is this intimacy that's missing, this affection, and it's hollow. And especially being a gay man in the military, I think it's even more, you feel more alone. But, I mean, here are men dying for the country, but yet they can't be who they are. But you have to understand, when I would have this one guy I write about in my book, he is on leave from Iraq. And I don't know this in the beginning, but as he's on my table and as we're talking, he starts to cry. And I'm holding him and I'm trying to comfort him, and it is because he has to go back to Iraq. And he's going back to a war he doesn't believe in. And he's going back to loneliness. And so I found that very moving, and it touched me deeply. And I think that's a little bit of the correlation that why when he asked me to be in this, I took the chance, I jumped at it. I'm talking about that I am providing a need for these men. And I have to basically remain invisible, and they have to basically remain quiet about it. But this is a need that they've been like screaming out for, and they can't receive, and I'm there to provide that need for them. And I'm talking about not only just men in the military. 80% of my clientele were married men, and 15% were clergy. I had a lot of men that were just very alone, very confused, very shameful of themselves, feeling guilt. So these men would come in to me, and I would restore their self-confidence. I would, in a sense, patch them up from war and then send them back out to fight again.
Perhaps they should go AWOL, war they don't believe in. I mean, why pretend to be straight if you're a gay man? Why go and fight in a war if you don't believe in the war? Why marry a man you don't love if you're a woman?
You have to remember, all of our actions are our consequences. And then, unless you're willing to face those consequences, that's why a lot of men don't follow their heart. Because there are consequences, and they're not always pretty consequences. After the first of the year, you're going to see a documentary on HBO out there. That will be on me, and I know she's talking to Ted Hager, so it's going to be real interesting.
That was controversial gay masseur Mike Jones in conversation with Claudia Cragg. Jones won't only be in the upcoming Alexander Pelosi HBO documentary featuring both him and the disgraced pastor. He's now accepted an offer to join a California-based production company, and he's said to be developing a one-man show based on his experiences with escort work and the Haggard scandal.
You're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine, brought to you by you. Your charitable donations keep this program on the air. You can also now get CDs of our program by subscription, and be sure you never miss a week of This Way Out. For all the details, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038 USA.
Michael Tolliver Lives is the good news in the title of Armistead Maupin's new book, 30 years after the first installment of his fabled Tales of the City series. In the first two parts of Josie Cotoggio's feature interview with him, Maupin has talked about how his own real-life relationship with his younger partner Chris is reflected in the fictional Michael's adventures. In this week's conclusion, Maupin discusses open relationships and two new characters in his Tales pantheon.
I want you to talk a little bit about your black gay character, because I really like him, and he's a whole new person in the series.
I'm so glad. I like him, too. I don't want to give away too much, because it's part
That's
of the
true.
Plot.
That's true.
He's just someone I constructed by listening to several, as always happens in life, somebody will tell me a story. Patrice has another job, which we won't discuss because that's the plot device. But as a sideline, he's a stripper for bachelorette parties in Orlando. This is quite common. I didn't realize this, but all over the South and the red states, they'll have women will throw bachelorette parties and strippers will come by and everybody will have a great time.
And a lot of them are gay men.
And a lot of them are gay men.
Well-hung gay men, I might add.
Yeah. Michael is saying to him, that must be fun, you know, you must really enjoy yourself. And he said, oh, it's not worth the cab fare half the time. And he says, why? And he says, no matter how big your dick is, if a sister's got a plate of ribs in front of her, you're going to come in second best every time. And that was the funniest image I could possibly imagine. All these women chowing down on the ribs while this guy's up there just, as he put it, flanging his stuff around, and nobody's paying any attention.
One of the things I love best about this book is that you talk about relationships between gay men, about intimacy, where there's sexual intimacy that allows for other sexual contact. There's a fine line between intimacy and sex, so that the partners can have sex outside of the relationship, but not interfere with the relationship.
Very well
said.
Because
I know men that do this. Talk about how that's a common.
Well, I mean, Christopher and I do this. So we talked about it before we got married. We discussed it because, as Michael says to his partner in the book, you're too young to be monogamous, and I'm too old. By which I meant, when you lived a while, you know certain things about male sexuality. And the way in which those temptations arise. And rather than say, this is not going to happen, which invariably forces people to cheat and lie and get further from their partner, we made a decision to have full disclosure with each other, to limit it. You know, it's not, as Michael says in Michael Tolliver Lives, he knows so many couples who've either neutered themselves completely by remaining strictly monogamous, or who've destroyed the intimacy of the marriage by going out every night to the baths. And so they wanted to strike some sort of balance where that was possible. It's not easy to do, but I think it's preferable to either system. And so that's kind of what Chris and I worked out, and I just wrote about it because I think this has been all the way through Tales of the City. How do you do that? How do you keep adventure alive when you want to, and not destroy intimacy? You got to start with intimacy. You have to have that, and you have to know that that's what you want. This one other person in the world who is your ally, and then you go from that position to saying, as difficult as it may be sometimes, I don't want to cramp the style of my partner, so this is the way we'll work it out. And it's a great subject. The comedy is rife in that situation. And so I pretty much explored that. I wanted to explore how that would work.
Well said.
A lot of people don't understand it, and most of my straight women friends are absolutely horrified. Oh, I can never do that. I can never do that. And then I think back to the stories they've told me, and I thought, and you've never been faithful to anyone in any single relationship because you would call me whispering while your loved one was in the room to tell me about something else. And that's corrosive. That is completely corrosive to a relationship. Chris and I have what we love about each other is that we both want that intimacy. We want it really badly. And some men especially don't have the gift for it. And a lot of men spend a long time looking for it and don't find it in other men. And they certainly don't find it in other men who are going to the baths every night. Chris paid me the compliment after we'd had a few dates of saying, you know, a lot of guys your age are really screwed up by now. And I've tried to keep my heart open, let's put it that way. And I think that's what he meant by it. You know, I can give to another person.
And Michael's really grown up in the book, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has. I've always noticed the changes in me by noticing the changes in him in the novel. I mean, I wasn't aware of these things happening to any of the characters over the 30 years they've been in existence. But they do reflect how I'm thinking, what I'm doing, and not just Michael, but basically all of them.
You must miss them when they're gone. That's why you came back to them.
I think that's probably true. I hate the process of writing. It's like I always compare it to laying mosaic because you're sort of hunched over a little tiny colored piece of something, hooking it up to another little tiny colored piece. And it's only when you're done you can step back and look at it does it come alive for you. I'm not a writer who spills it all out and goes back and refines it. I just move very, very slowly.
Oh, I have to tell you, I love your brother's grandson, who clearly...
Michael's brother's grandson.
Right, Michael's... sorry, your character's brother's grandson. He clearly is going to grow up to be a fag.
He's a
sweet boy who loves puppets and loves drama, and he's like the nephew on Ugly Betty. I mean, he's just...
Right. We're starting to see that in the culture now, aren't
exactly.
we?
Exactly. It shows how we know so young who we are.
Yeah, it's... Being gay is pre-sexual. It's that simple. Every gay person I've ever known had some sense. Well, maybe some have not, but...
We knew we were different. We might not have put a name to it, but we knew something. We knew we were different.
Absolutely. And by creating a seven-year-old gay character, I wanted to establish the fact that this is the responsibility of parents to realize that this may be the case for their children and not to torture them with their own bigotry while in their formative stages, you know, or at any point for that matter. But I was Sumter is his name, and I was very happy to create him, and it was fun for me to make him part of his grandmother's Christian puppet show because it had puppets in it, you know, and she thinks of him as being a good Christian, and he's having a hell of a great time with the puppets, just as I did when I was a kid.
And also we tend to torture boys around gender really early. I mean, he's being tortured more for his gender role than his potential sexuality.
That's right. That's exactly right. We call little boys sissies
way longer than we allow boys to be sissies.
Yeah, that's quite true. I don't know that it makes it any easier because they have the same sense of being different. But the reason we torture little boys is that they're afraid that they'll turn out to be like little girls. And that's, of course, the worst thing in our society.
Absolutely. Female is the worst thing you can be.
Yeah, yeah. This from people who supposedly like women.
Hey, it's the nature of patriarchy.
Yeah.
Sexism and homophobia, it's absolutely from the same source.
Hand in hand.
Yep. Well, I've so enjoyed talking with you, and I really appreciate your work so much.
Thank you, Josie. I've had a great time, too.
This has been Josie Catoggio for This Way Out. I've been talking with Armistead Maupin, author of Tales of the City, about his book, Michael Tolliver Lives.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Rick Watts, Tanya Kane Perry, Rex Wachner with Bill Kelly, Graham Underhill, Claudia Craig, and Josie Catoggio contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Listen online to This Way Out anytime and exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also get there by clicking on the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Most This Way Out operating expenses are supported by direct, tax-deductible donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air. We'll thank you with your choice of some very special programming CDs. You can also subscribe to CDs or cassettes of our weekly programs there. Email us at tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WSUI, Iowa City, Iowa, KZSC, Santa Cruz, California, CITR, Vancouver, British Columbia, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Everybody, we're going to stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
Well, as we wrap up the first hour of the show, and basically we say our goodbyes on the fourth Monday because we got Queer Music Heritage coming up.
That's right.
We want to thank our guest that talked about an art affair, which is happening Saturday, October 6th at 6 p.m. at the Greenway Plaza Renaissance. Why can't I say that?
Like Angelica.
Yes, it looks like a very classy affair. It almost looks like a wedding invitation.
Oh, and that'd be interesting.
A lot of fun, yes. Well,
yeah, and of course, my guest was the Unhinged Productions, Del Shores, Sordid Lives, and Daryl Thompson and Karen Heimbaugh were here. One of the things I didn't get a chance to say about that is that the screenplay for this, for television,
12 episodes of Sordid Lives will be as a series on Logo starting later on in the season. I thought that was rather interesting on that.
Well, and also Ray's film, The Prison Show, was at the film festival this past Saturday. That was a lot of fun. This Saturday is the band, the Houston Pride Band's 30th anniversary concert at MCCR Church.
Yes.
RMCC, I guess it's actually called. And that sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, so look it up on the web, Houston Pride Band, and just things are happening this time of year, you know, now that the hurricane season sort of fizzling
off. Well, before we go back to the media, because if we have a moment, I was going to tell us about what GLAAD reported, but to remind everyone that a week from this Wednesday is the GLBT Political Caucus General Meeting at Haven Center there on West Alabama. It starts at 6:30.
For more information, go to thecaucus.org.
That's right, thecaucus.org. How about that? One quick thing, if we have a moment. GLAAD, which is, if you don't know, is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, and it was their report on television. And the networks are failing, but cable is doing great. Cable has, and primarily the major channels, ABC is the one. They have five regular GLBT people on their shows on a regular basis. And also, which is really good, over 40 gay characters on the cable channel. Very good. So, you know, we're there. It's not as good as it could be and has been in the past, but it's pretty good.
All right. Well, and we'll see you next week.
Yes.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Hey! Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy. This way.
Not be unable, hold my lover's hand, step under some dimly lit table, afraid of being who I am. From that day.
Welcome to Queer Voices on KPFT, and this is J.D. Doyle. From time to time on Queer Music Heritage, I like to feature songs that don't really fit into any theme. So this is another one of my Songs I've Been Meaning to Play shows. And that opening song is called Angry Athis, and is a special one to the history of our music culture. I give it credit for being the first openly lesbian song, and it was by Maxine Feldman. Sadly, I am reporting that Maxine Feldman passed away on August 18th in Albuquerque at age 62. I was very pleased to interview her for QMH in 2002, and here's just a snippet of that interview. I asked her about the song Angry Athis.
Angry Athis I wrote May 13th, 1969, and I had just left Boston, and I'd been living down in New York too, and Mayor Lindsay had sent these cops into gay bars where they would imitate gay guys, and as soon as the guys went outside, they would bust them. Now that was called entrapment, but it wasn't called entrapment then. So there were many things, you know, being thrown out of college, always having to hide who you were. It got me so damn angry that one night when I arrived in Los Angeles, California, it was the first night I arrived, I wrote Angry Athis. And it just came spewing forth. It just talked about everything that I was angry about, not being able to hold my lover's hand. We're not child molesters. We're not this. You know, we're not that. And I just figured, well, the best way to put it sometimes was in a song. And this was prior, as you know, since it was May 13th, prior to the gay movement as we know it today. But it was in the air. I mean, what happened, you know, in Stonewall on Christopher Street in the end of June, it was in the air. It was bound to happen. We were all getting very tired of being invisible and being losing our jobs, losing our schools, losing our parents. So it was that kind of a...
That's a pretty good start. Where did you get the title for the song?
All right, Athis is one of Sappho's lovers. And I had, of course, read Sappho, the lesbian poet. And originally I was going to call it Sappho's, you know, sadness or something. And I went, no, let me call it Angry Athis. And anyone who will know who Athis is, if they've read Sappho, they will know that Athis is one of her many lovers. When you also look at the words, if you look at Angry Athis, which is spelled A-T-T-H-I-S, it also, if you separate the words out, it becomes Angry at This. So it was kind of a double... I like words, so... with kind of a double meaning.
You can hear that entire interview on the April of 2002 page of my site. I'm moving next to one of the members of another historic act, Romanowski and Phillips. Though they stopped performing together years ago, Ron Romanowski is still making music, and of course many of his songs are political, like this one he sent me last December. It's called Hard Times for Closet Cases. And at the time, it was inspired by the scandal surrounding evangelist Ted Haggard. Well, those hypocrites just can't stay out of the news. And the song applies just as well to Senator Larry Craig from Idaho. Ron Romanowski and Hard Times for Closet Cases.
Hypocrisy's at an all-time high. Kiss the boys and then deny it. When they find out what you've done, which direction will you run? Religious leaders in high places, politicians with well-known faces, caught in the act and falling from graces. These are hard times for closet cases. Better that they've been exposed, but that don't make a weed a rose. What does it do to our esteem to have these liars on our team? Religious leaders in high places, politicians with well-known faces, engaging in compromising embraces. These are hard times for closet cases. private lives. They're lovers, prostitutes, and wives. But I am tired of taking hits from these rich bastard hypocrites. Religious leaders in high places, politicians with well-known faces, caught between a rock and other hard places. These are difficult times for closet cases. Religious leaders in high places,
the Australian duo Blue House has been producing excellent music for many years, and they've just put out their fourth full-length CD called One More Kiss. The duo is comprised of Jackie Walter and Bernadette Carroll, and their new CD was produced by Aussie guitar legend Tommy Emmanuel. While the album is mostly original songs, one of the covers caught my ear, and I asked Jackie to tell me about their version of Help Me Make It Through the Night.
I just wrote in a press release here in Australia that we'd managed to take a Kris Kristofferson ballad and turn it into something that sounded like honky-tonk barroom brawl music. Yeah, it's interesting. When we do covers, we really like to mix them up and do something different with them. And we sent Tommy two versions of that, and the other one was a real beautiful, you know, harmony-rich sort of version of it. And then we said, let's do this punk version, and he'll never pick it. He'll never go for it. So Bern started playing these weird chords, and we sent it off to him. And when we saw him, he said, I really like that version. I think we should do that. And we went, really? He said, yeah, come on. So, and he had the most fun playing that. I mean, it was hysterical watching him record that, playing the guitar. He also did all the drums on the album, so yeah. He just went to town on that.
Come and lay down by my side, till the early morning light. It's sad to be alone, help me make it through. Take the ribbon from your hair, take it loose and let it fall. Lay it soft upon my skin, like the shadows on the wall. Come and lay down by my side, till the early morning light. All I'm taking is your time.
that was Blue House. Next, I want to share with you songs from the latest releases by two very talented artists. First up is Terry Christopher. His new album is called Journey of a Wordsmith, and I just love the song Brothers in Arms and Sister Soldiers.
Others point and judge, oh, and everybody's running. like there's no time to waste. We all find out the hard way that we can't keep up this pace. Some fall with spirits broken, others bow to one day finish. But most of us are looking just to place in this human race. I've seen the trap get torn to pieces of those who think they're faster and see themselves as great. Some have been held back by stronger, while others use the weak, and some are just too far gone to save. Oh, and everybody's running, some try to cheat their fate. And some of us are leading, and some are led astray. Yet we don't heed the warnings, while some are just concerned with saving face. In this human race, we take three steps forward, then we take two steps back. Can't you see, for years we've all been going nowhere fast. Not everyone can win, but sadly everyone can lose. If we don't take time to slow down, stop listening to the fools. Some of us reach out to help, some just get in the way. Some pay to get position, others seek out higher powers. But most of us just try to keep the day in this human race. Yeah, most of us are trying to find our way in this human race.
Following Terry Christopher was Nick Renato and the song In This Human Race. That's from the CD Outside the Lines. Here's a little more about Nick. Over the years, he has had over 250 songs recorded and some 38 charting singles, producing numerous awards, honors, and nominations. His songs have been covered by some highly notable names like Randy Travis, Pamela Stanley, Bette Midler, Stella Parton, Crystal Gayle, Eddie Rabbit, and Juice Newton, just to name a few. Again, his name is Nick Granato. Wouldn't be a queer music heritage show without my digging into some obscurities. Today, probably only record collectors remember the name Joe Meek, but he was a legendary British record producer in the early 1960s. His innovative style and very distinctive production techniques gave him legendary status at that time. But personally, he was a very troubled man, and by 1966, he was in deep depression, caused by lack of success of his recordings, near bankruptcy, and the oppression he felt for being homosexual. Homosexuality was still illegal in the UK at that time. You're hearing a bit of the smash hit Telstar from 1962 by the Tornadoes, which he produced. That group wasn't gay, but on the last 45 he produced for them in 1966, he perhaps gained some satisfaction by exposing a reality long suppressed. On the flip side of their record, Is That a Ship I Hear?, he placed what sounded like a throwaway song called Do You Come Here Often? It's an innocuous sounding instrumental, And most people, had they even bothered to turn the record over, would have stopped listening well before the point of interest I'm telling you about. At about 2 minutes and 15 seconds into the song, he inserted this bit of conversation, apparently intended to sound like it came from a London gay club, with two obviously bitchy queens.
Do you come here often?
Only when the pirate ships go off air.
Me too.
Well, I see pajama style shirts are in there.
Well, pajamas are out. As far as I'm concerned, anyway.
Who cares?
Well, I know of a few people that do.
Yes, you would. Wow. These two coming now. What do you think?
Mine's all right, but I don't like the look of yours.
Well, I must be off.
Yes, you're not looking so good.
Cheerio. I'll see you down the dilly.
Not if I see you first, you won't.
Remember, this was 1966, and that indulgence by producer Joe Meek was, in a way, an amazing achievement. It was the first record in a UK major label, Columbia, to give us a look at gay life with all the campiness sometimes present. No one knows how much satisfaction that recording gave him, because within 6 months, he had committed suicide by shooting himself with a shotgun. I want to share a couple of other Joe Meek oddities. Back then, it was not uncommon for songwriters to make recordings of songs they wrote intended to be sung by female artists. Here's a demo recording of his called He's Mine, and it'll be followed by a tribute recording.
And just you stay away from my baby's door. Be waiting for you if you come back some more. He's so good to me, and he told me I'm so fine. I won't have him so away from me, so he's mine, all mine. Now just you go and find some other guy. This one's mine, and for if I know, and I'll die. If I lose him, I'll break him too. Leave him alone, he's no good to you.
Comes to my house anymore.
That second song was a little of My Johnny Doesn't Come Around and appeared on a various artists' Joe Meek tribute album out of Spain in 2002, with that track by the group La Prohibita. The song was originally a UK hit in 1964 by the girl group Flip and the Dateliners. I've got another demo from the 60s, and it also has those pronouns intact, which of course is why I'm playing it. It was written by the songwriting team of Pete Anders and Vinnie Poncha, who also got some radio play under the name The Tradewinds, with their hit New York's a Lonely Town. They wrote songs for The Ronettes and Darling Love, among others, and I can't resist their 1963 demo of the song, She's the Girl Who Stole My Baby.
She's the girl who stole my baby. She's the girl who stole my baby. She's the girl who stole my baby. Ooh, he was mine yesterday. She came by and stole him away. Right down, I had my cries. How could she ever steal my guy? She smiled at him and winked her eye. Then he looked at me and he waved bye-bye. She's the girl, oh yeah, stole my baby from me. She thinks that she's so smart and she can get any guy, but someday it'll happen to her and she won't be jumping for joy. I want him back, I need him so, but this time I'll never let him go.
Pete Anders and Vinnie Poncha and She's the Girl Who Stole My Baby, with Baby coming off as very bisexual. And here's one more visit to the early 60s. That, of course, is the classic oldie, Land of a Thousand Dances, as done by the East L.A. band Cannibal and the Headhunters in 1965. Probably not many of you know that Cannibal was the nickname for Frankie Garcia, and he was gay. He quit the music business in 1966 and died of AIDS in 1996. From the present, here's a song from an album I think is just excellent. It's very infectious pop music out of England by an artist going by the name Mika. He's getting a lot of attention with his album Life in Cartoon Motion, and he's maintaining a very evasive stance as to whether or not he's gay. Out Magazine recently did a 7-page story on him, complete with cover photo, and his position is, "Anyone can label me, but I'm not willing to label myself." Well, he pegs my gaydar, and here's his song, Grace Kelly.
I want to talk to you. The last time we talked, Mr. Smith, you reduced me to tears. I promise you it won't happen again.
Do I attract you? Do I repulse you with my queasy smile? Am I too dirty? Am I too flirty? Do I like what you like? I could be wholesome, I could be loathsome, just I'm a little bit shy. Why don't you like me? Why don't you like me without making me try?
I try to be like Grace Kelly, but all her looks were too sad.
little Freddy. I got answers in my.
Lots of Freddie Mercury influences there from the very talented Mika. I'm shifting to Israel now, and an artist I've become quite taken with. He's a megastar there, and his coming out in 2002 didn't hurt his career at all. His name is Ivri Lider, and I'm going to spell that for you. Ivri Lider. That way you'll be able to find his videos, which are so sexy. Unfortunately, he does not have out an English album yet, and most of his recordings so far have been sung in Hebrew. But I'm sharing two songs with you that are in English. The first song can be found on the new Various Artists CD, Music with a Twist, Revolutions, which is the first effort by Sony's new gay marketing section. And I absolutely love this song. It's called Jesse.
I love a boy named Jesse, but Jesse doesn't love me back. He says he has a girl in Chelsea he wants so much. I love a boy named Jesse, but Jesse doesn't love me back. He says he's insecure about what he feels and what he wants.
but he doesn't want to talk. A lovable name, Jesse, but Jesse doesn't love me back. He says he's sweet and all that stuff is only in my mind.
Also by Avery Leder is a song that is featured in the new Israeli gay movie, The Bubble. And I think his version of this song is utterly charming. It's one of my favorite songs, The Man I Love.
Come along, the man I love, and he'll be big and strong, the man I love. And when he comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay. He'll look at me and smile, I'll understand. And in a little while, he'll take my hand. And though it seems absurd, I know we both won't say a word. And I know I shall meet him Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe not. Still, I'm sure I'll meet him someday. Maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. He'll build a little home just meant for two, from which I'll never run. Would meet you, and so will else above. I'm waiting for the man I love. And I know I should meet him Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe not. But still I'm sure I'll meet him someday. Be my good news day. Mm-hmm.
Maybe Monday, maybe not. But still I'm sure I'll meet him someday. Maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. Someday he'll come along, the man I love. He'll be big and strong, the man I love. And when he comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay.
The Man I Love, as done by Ivry Leader. And that song is perhaps an appropriate way to lead into the last section of this show, as I want to do a tribute to the man I loved, my partner Jeff. He died on August 9th of cancer, and I'm very much dealing with the grief of that, with all that comes with it, feeling sad, numb, and empty, all with an unreal aspect to it. We celebrated our 12th anniversary in the hospital, 4 days before he died. And despite the very difficult last year and a half, those were very happy years. I feel very honored to have loved him and will forever miss him. Regular listeners may have heard him on this show before. He was an avid fan of the TV show I Love Lucy, was always watching the reruns, and I used to tease him that, like Lucy was always pestering Ricky to be on his show, we joked that Jeff wanted to be on my show. We finally indulged in that about a year ago when I got Jeff to do sort of the commercial part usually aired midway through the show. Here's what that sounded like.
And this is a good time to remind you to visit JD's website. If you do so while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. He's always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more Very Queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night, Sunday morning, from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. This is really more difficult than I ever dreamed.
He was a sweetheart, perhaps the most kind and good and gentle man I've ever known. So I searched very hard for the right songs to play. When Trett Fury heard about my loss, she sent me a song that will be on her new album, True Compass, to be released in a few weeks. I thank her for that, as the song is beautiful. It's called Sail Away.
There's a longing in my heart to see you in the morning. There's a longing in my heart to rest my face against your cheek. But I guess I'll have to wait until that last gray dawning, when I take the mighty boat across the sea. Sail away. I can almost see you smiling. Sail away. I can almost hear you breathe. Sail away. I will reach out for your hand when I take the mighty boat across the sea. I'm staring at the phone, wishing I could call you like I've done so many mornings in the years you've been with me. But the phone would go unanswered, and I would be left hanging till I take the mighty boat across the sea. Sail away. I can almost see you smiling. Sail away. I can almost hear you breathe. Sail away. I will reach out for your hand when I take the mighty boat across the sea. Sail away. I can almost see you smiling. Sail away. I can almost hear you breathe. Sail away. I will reach out for your hand when I take the mighty boat across the sea. When I take that mighty boat across the sea.
Sail Away by Trent Fury. Another song I found that comes close to what I wanted to say is by one of my favorites, Mark Weigel. On his Out of the Loop album from 2002 was the song Wish You Were Here.
I lie beside the sea and look up at the stars, where the sky is bright. Heaven doesn't seem so far. All it will take is my angel ear. I wish you were here. Wide-eyed in the dark, I get scared awake when the dragon's in my dreams. More than I can slay, I know my hero would conquer this fear. I wish you were here. When times are good, when life gets hard, when I'm tired of being strong, when I want to drop my guard, and how far away you are, but in my heart, how near. I wish you were here. On a sunny summer day, I'm stealing free time, but no matter what fun I get away with, not quite the perfect crime. If I had my partner, we'd be in the clear. I wish you were here. Sometimes when I get tired, it doesn't take much at all for my eyes to flow with rivers. I just drop in waterfalls. I have no shoulder to catch my tears. I wish you were here. When times are good, when life gets hard, when I'm tired of being strong, when I want to drop my guard, I think of you, and I'll follow where you are. But in my heart, I knew I wish you were here.
Before I get to the last song, I want to mention that if you have questions or comments about any of the music I've featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. And please check out my website at www.queermusicheritage.com, where you can hear a much expanded version of this show. I've also set up a special section of my site as a tribute to Jeff, with lots of photos of him and us over the years. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. Now, I knew the last song in my tribute had to be a very special one. And knowing Jeff, I know that he would not want it to be a song of mourning, but rather one of hope. It seems almost like he told me to play this one. It's from the 1997 musical, The Last Session. We saw the show a couple times when it was staged in Houston, and have met the composer, Steve Shocklin. Jeff loved this song, and I hope you see why. Jeff was the love of my life, and I will always cherish the wonderful gift of knowing him. From The Last Session, here's the song, When You Care.
There's a light holding us together. There's a light holding us all together. Some will say it's fate, some will say it's life. The name doesn't matter, just doesn't matter. There's a world stronger than the sound of peace. There's a world stronger than any silence. Some will say it's love, some will say it's God. Everything changes, everything changes when you care. When you came out of time, everyone is running out of time. The river goes on running. You can live every day, deny every day. Which way doesn't matter.
Been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
KPFT's local station board meets Wednesday. The meeting starts at 7 p.m. at the Alliance Francaise, 427 Lovett Boulevard, on the corner of Lovett and Whitney. The public is encouraged to attend our board meetings. Each gathering permits public comment. Please arrive early if you'd like to sign up for public comment. Again, KPFT's local station board meets Wednesday at 7 p.m. at Alliance Francaise, 427 Lovett Boulevard, on the corner of Lovett and Whitney. If you can't attend the meeting, you can listen live online. KPFT hosts audio.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.